talks about when we get to heaven, it'd be nonstop worship. Now, we won't have these bodies, though. We'd be a little different. But the idea is that God is worthy of every ounce of energy to bless him because he's good. Say, God is good. But I would like to complete and continue, but complete today, a teaching on identity theft. Say, identity theft. And really is about how every human being is dealing with the issue of how Satan, we talked about pushing away the darkness in the song, how Satan, who's out of darkness, comes to steal. And one area he focuses on is our identity in God, in Christ. And he does it in subtle ways at young children, as a young child. Disappointment, rejection, all kind of things that happen that cause our heart to be hurt. So we grow up and we're tentative, we're not reluctant to make commitments, don't raise our hand to volunteer, don't follow our dreams because of life. And that's not how God created you to be, and none of us, but because we're born in sin, Satan takes advantage of that. That's why Jesus coming to redeem us is so huge, because he brings us back and now we can learn about how God sees us in Christ. Say, in Christ. But we're still in this physical body that struggles. And we don't have a new body yet. We're not in heaven yet. So on the earth, there's a dynamic where there's like a struggle, tug of war between good and evil. And the evil is in his flesh. And thoughts that come to our mind. And a hurt heart that begin to occur as a young child, even in adulthood. So what does God do with that? He heals our heart with the scriptures. I'm going to share with you today how you can begin to do this on your own, begin to apply the scriptures in your life, and begin to identify with God. It's a lack of identity in line with God that causes most human problems. They see themselves as superior, don't have a proper identity. Or inferior, don't have a proper identity. Amen. I'm helpless, not a proper identity. Not when you see, we're about to read here in Luke, it says in verse 27, but he, speaking of Jesus, said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. What is impossible with who? Man is what? Possible with God. Wow. And so what we're talking about is getting our identity back and in line reflecting the identity God has for us, how God sees you. He just told us what's impossible with man is possible with God. And what happens is that, you know, we either have experience or we hear people's experiences and we say, well, you know, they really tried hard. It wasn't, you know, they didn't work for them and they believe in God too. Well, either God's a liar or he's not. Or there's some gaps we have to fill. Amen. Jesus also said, all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. So I'm not here to judge, but I want to share with you, if we're going to, as Christians and growing in the things of God and embracing his identity, we ought to embrace all of it or none of it. Well, amen. We need to be all in or do something else. Because what happens is that it impacts what God wants to do in and through us, but also it tarnishes our witness as Christians. Amen. Our neighbors, our children start off with the family, our spouses. Maybe some spouse that's not really excited about God, but, you know, they let you go, what have you. They're looking at you, you know. And so it's all about the witness. Because the witness attracts people. And if they see us as not strong in the Lord, overcoming challenges that are real, we're going to talk about, God makes it very plain that there can be setbacks in our lives and feel like it can be feel a sense of despair. God understands it, but he doesn't want you to stay there. Say, I'm not going to stay there. And it's us identifying with God and his word in the scriptures that gets us out and helps us overcome. So which do you prefer? The possibilities of God or the possibilities of man? If you want the possibilities of God, what I assume you do, there's going to require of us, more of us, to exercise our faith and confidence in God. I'm reminded of the widow woman who her husband had died, and she had a couple sons, and then because he left her in debt, he didn't have an insurance policy, I suppose. Nothing like probably didn't have an insurance policy that we have today. And so she was destitute, and her sons now are becoming indentured servants to pay off the debt. She went to the preacher, the prophet. My husband worked for you. He's serving you really well, and I'm stuck. What you going to do? Help me out. He asked her a question, and God always asks us questions. And this question, he said, what do you have in your house? Talk about what's impossible with man is possible with God. She has nothing. And that was her attitude. But oftentimes, when you say I don't have nothing, you got something. Amen. See, part of it is our mindset, and we fully haven't embraced the possibilities of God. And so he asked her a question, what do you have in the house? She said, I don't have nothing, preacher. That's my 2 cents in there. But a pot and a little oil. You could say, lost my job. Could say, it's not enough income. It could say, whatever the situation may be. It may not be financial at all. But the way she described what she had, she said, I have nothing. Then she looked around, oh, I got a little pot, a little bit of oil in, that's all. That's not nothing either. What we may call nothing, God says, I can work with that. I call it something. I'll make it into something.
Yes, that's right.
What's impossible with man is possible with God.
Amen.
Okay?
Hallelujah.
Now, this has a lot to do with our identity, because if we can see the scriptures, God can do anything, but will he do it for you? Will he do it in and through you? Only the scriptures can help us get that.
Hallelujah.
And get there. And so he says, well, take that pot and a little oil and go send your sons out to borrow a bunch of pots from your neighbors. And she did. She's following instruction. Didn't make sense. I can see her now. What does preachers have me to do, Pastor Ed? You know what? Go ahead and get some pots, boy. Get a bunch of pots and bring them back. And they bring them back. And then she said, okay, now what, preacher? Women probably had a little attitude. Come on. Now what, preacher? I got the pots. He said, begin to take a little oil you have in that little bottle and start pouring in. She's looking at a little oil and all those pots. But she realized, I think God is up to something. We're going to read in a moment about how you can be cast down and perplexed, but not in despair.
Amen.
You got to choose between perplexed and cast down to hope and faith.
Amen.
And so she began to pour. Oh, okay, that pot got full. Okay, bring me another one over, Johnny. Okay. Whoa. Kept pouring. Then, you got any more pots? No, Mom, they're all filled. In fact, he told her, don't borrow a few. Now, I don't know how many she borrowed, but she could have borrowed as many. She could have been out there 3 days borrowing pots if she wanted to. Which means oftentimes our results is all up to us.
Amen.
Yeah. He just said, don't borrow a few. It's in your Bible. It's parable. Don't borrow a few. And so then the pots are all full. Now what I do, preacher? And then he said, go sell the oil. She could have said, again, talking about what is impossible with man is possible with God. We have these reasons why it can't work. I don't want to sell. I don't do that. My husband did all that stuff. I raised the kids. I worked in the house. I don't be out there selling nothing. But she obeyed God. Oh, God. Sometimes obeying God, for God to do impossibilities, get you out of your comfort zone.
All right.
But you got to believe that God can do the impossibilities in your life. Identify with what God, what he can do and how he can do it in you. Well, story went on, and she paid off all her debts. He said, all the extra you earn, pay off all your debts, and live off the rest. God put her in the oil business. Okay. And pay for her retirement.
All right.
What was impossible with man. Now, we think we see poverty. You got to go to visit other countries. And in those days, she was poor. They're taking her sons, but she went to the preacher and got a word of God. In our case, we got a bunch of words here.
Yes.
It's called the scripture. Say the scriptures.
Scriptures.
By good God's design, identifying with how he sees us and how we see God equips us. Say equips us.
Equips us.
to live within the possibilities of God. See, it's how we identify with God. God, can you do this in me, in this circumstance? I think about Moses, delivered the children of Israel out of poverty, out of slavery, and going to the promised land. He thought he was free, ready to go, and here come Pharaoh's army, and they're back against the wall, if you would, the sea. And he realized, oh, I can't go any further. It's, if you would, it's all pressing upon me. So that's how we feel sometimes. It's all pressing upon me. The load, the responsibility, it's all on me now. I have nowhere to go. You got to think about what we're talking about. See, Moses began to realize, it's not about me. I look to you, God. So God said, what's that in your hand? You begin to wave it over the water and part the sea. What was impossible with man is possible with God. Amen. But you have to identify with him. And we as believers, Christ is in us. Say, he's in us. He's not far away up in heaven. No, he's in us. By his spirit, he's in us. Yes. Say, he's in me. Yeah, he's in you. Mm-hmm. And it's when we identify with him, we allow God to do special things in our lives. It could be, I'm kind of locked. You know, my income, my education is kind of locked here. He's not limited by that.
Amen.
Say, identify with Christ in you.
Identify with Christ in you.
I think about the scripture in Ezekiel. It's not in your notes, but 22 and 30. And it says, I sought for a man. God is speaking. I sought for a man. I'm looking for a man or a woman that can make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God is looking for people still. When Mordecai realized that there was an enemy in the kingdom against the Jews, but his niece had access to the king, he began to tell her, go talk to the king, but she can't talk to the king. He's on a kind of little getaway, and I can't go see him unless he says it's okay. He hadn't called for me. If I go in there, and if he didn't call for me, he gets an attitude, he can have me put to death. That's the way it was in those days. So she was a little concerned about that, even though she was wife. You just don't do that. That's very male chauvinistic. That's the way it was in those days. But the people of God were threatened. Please follow me. See, God's looking for a man or a woman, and you can be that man or woman he's looking for. Mm-hmm. But you got to identify with God to work through you. Say, work through me.
Work through me.
It's easy to say, talk to so-and-so, have them do it. What about God? You can do it in me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so he approached her, and she was a little hesitant. He said this to her. Don't think if you don't do this, God will bring another deliverer through somebody else. I like Mordecai's spunk. He's saying, God gonna use somebody, why not you? And then he said, could it be that you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? You have access, but God can work through you. Story goes on. She did it. They were delivered. No problem. My point is, it's about the person. God looking for people like you. Say, like me. But we have to embrace who we are in Christ and what he says about us. Can God find himself in you to accomplish his will in the lives of people in the earth? You need to think about that. Look at some scriptures I call medicine, scripture medicine. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and we begin with verse 7. We have several scriptures we're going to talk about because this area of confession is so important because confession is really means you agree, you're saying the same thing. Normally, Christians view it as confessing our sins, which is appropriate. You sin, you offended somebody, offended God, you confess, I did it, I apologize, God forgive me my sin, he forgives you. But also you should confess the good things in your life. In fact, the way you receive Christ is by confession and believing. It's both. You believe and you say. Say, believe and I say. This is huge. Well, I believe that, but I don't say it. Then you really don't believe it. Because God says for you to become a Christian, you must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord. That doesn't happen without both. I'm going to say it again. You need both confession and believing.
Amen.
Bible says the devil believed. They're not confessing, though. Yeah. So what you say over your life is important. Because you have authority over your life. So God says, agree with me, take authority over your life, and agree, and let me, my power, because I confirm the scriptures in your life. Amen. You know, Jesus is really powerful. I was studying about Jesus' life when I was on sabbatical some years ago, and I kept seeing it was like watching a movie. And I realized he was fulfilling the scriptures. When he was coming against, or Pilate was coming against him, he said, talk to me. He wouldn't talk with him. Talk to me. I can put you in prison. I can hurt you. He said, no, I can call down 12 legions of angels. But how will the scriptures be fulfilled? Hmm. Yeah. In other words, unless I die and go to the cross and raise again, the scriptures won't be fulfilled. He was aware of the importance of fulfilling the scriptures. Guess what? When God calls you to head, not to tail, he expects you to fulfill the scriptures of that in your life. That he supply all your need. He wants to fulfill the scriptures of that in your life. Amen. Or else we're not fully identifying with it. Yeah? I know it may be a little awkward because, you mean I don't identify with Christ? I'm a Christian. I'm not saying that piece. It's identifying with him is the key piece. Amen. Good. People can be on the outside a certain way, but they act differently. Mm-hmm. Amen? So it says in verse 7, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure. Say treasure.
Treasure.
I'm reading out of the ESV version, but in King James it says earthen vessels, but it says a jar of clay. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Say to God and not to us.
God.
Oh, this is so important. Because as you can tap into the power of God, you got to realize it's not you. It's the power of God working through you.
Amen.
We don't get that twisted. You identify with God, he will work through you. Say, through me.
Through me.
Our confession would be, the great power that works in me is of God. Say, is of God.
Is of
God. In fact, read it out loud with me. The great power that works in me is of God. Say it again, please.
The great power that works in me is of God.
Now, if you had a little difficulty saying that, don't feel bad. Just realize you got some work to do. Identifying with the scriptures. That's all. Don't feel bad. The great power. I don't know. You need to say that. You need to agree with it. If your baby is in the hospital and the doctor's giving up, and the Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, you got to believe it's not your power. It's the power of God going to work through you. And you need that power to show up right now.
Amen.
Right? Now, if it's just, I heard it one day, I read about it in a book, I saw so-and-so, that may not help you right now.
All right.
It's how you identify God working inside of you. Say inside of me.
Inside of me.
Another one. In verse 8. We are afflicted in every way. Say afflicted in every way.
Afflicted in every way.
But not what? Crushed. Perplexed. But not driven to what? Despair. Now, this is real in life, in our environment. Now, people committing suicide. Depression is huge. But what's what I like about the scripture is very clear. He says, we're afflicted. We're troubled. So God's not saying put your hand in the sand and act like you're not in trouble. You're not being afflicted. No, he's not saying that. He's just saying, don't say get knocked down. Okay, I'm crushed. He's not saying talk like that. You may be down and look crushed. Get back up. Say, get back up.
Get back up.
See, we walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
That widow woman had to believe the word of God presented by the prophet. That's God speaking to him. Go get some pots and turn that little oil into a lot of oil and sell the oil and pay off your debts.
Yes.
She can't walk by how she sees. She caught it. I got nothing. A pot and little oil. We start seeing stuff as God sees you.
Amen.
Yeah. Another prophet, surrounded by the enemy, had his servant there, Gehazi. And he's looking around, and the army, Syrian army, is all surrounding them. You know what? To him, It was a lot. We're overwhelmed. He said, don't worry about that. There's more to be with us than be with them. He's looking at all those people, all those chariots and all those horses and those army men. There's maybe hundreds of thousands of them in the mountain. And then he says, one, two. And there's more to be with us than be with them. And then he said this, Lord, open up his eyes that he may see what was already there. The help was already there. All he wanted to do was believe it. Help already showed up. He just wanted you to believe it, that he will come through for you. And read the rest of the story. He did. It's identification with God. Too often is God the big man upstairs. I'm an old lowly Christian, old sinner saved by grace. The Bible doesn't say that you're an old sinner once you're in Christ. You are saved by grace, though. Amen. So say that piece. Amen. Used to be a sinner. But you know why people do that? They want to kind of put themselves down. God's not putting you down. He's lifting you up. And if you kind of slip that way every now and then, I get it, I understand, no problem. But see, the scripture will help you stay where you need to be so you can receive what God has for you. Otherwise, you reject it. I don't have nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So our confession should be, when I am troubled, I am not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Read that out loud with me, please. When I am troubled, I am not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Say it again, please.
When I'm in trouble, I am not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair.
I miss my brother, Dr. Parker, here when he had your stroke about 2 months ago. I'm sure it didn't look good. Sure didn't feel good. But his attitude was, this is not the end for me.
All right.
So now he's walked in the church without a walker. He said, I'm not using no walker. Yes, Aquil, he had to go through all the therapeutic stuff he needs to do. But in his mind, I'm healed. He could accept it. I've been knocked down, but I'm not crushed. You're going to get this today. I got to get back to Spain. That's where he has to get back to minister around the world. He's one of our missionaries we support. Good man of God. He's young, has a long life to live. But if we don't agree and identify with Christ in you, you did it for so-and-so. Maybe you won't do it for me. It's a hard one, God. What's impossible with men is possible with who?
God.
Yeah, yeah. Another verse. Verse 9. He's talking about, he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. That's a good one. And when you feel alone, folk leave you, don't call no more, don't answer your phone calls or text messages. I get it. Persecuted but not forsaken, struck down, say struck down.
Struck down,
fired, rejected, but not what? Destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus, say the life of Jesus.
The life of Jesus.
Say the life of Jesus.
The life of Jesus.
May also be what?
Manifest
in what? Our bodies. God, I need the life of Jesus right now to show up and manifest in my body. You got to identify with it, my friend. It's not magic. It's not, you know, like I'm trying to pump myself up. It's the scriptures. Paul says in writing to the Roman church, I'm not ashamed. This is oftentimes an issue for Christians. You're ashamed of it. You don't want to talk about it. But he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's powerful. So we'd be bold in church and at Burger King, or at Fat Burger. Double King chili cheese egg, right? Fat Burger. All right, stop. You can have lunch afterwards. Yeah. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Confession should be, when I am persecuted, I am not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. So here you maybe lost a job, lost some money, lost a house, you know, didn't graduate on time, whatever may happen. Spouse leaves, you're left with nothing now. More people are being homeless. Let me help you, my friend. We help people all the time in our church, by the way. Help them get housing. We do that. That's part of our Nehemiah ministry we do. But you know what? If we don't help people get the scriptures in their mind, when they're stuck with difficult issues, they won't know what to do. Amen. Give them a place to stay, but teach them what God can do in their life through the scriptures. Amen. Or we just feeling bad, sorry for people, and we don't help them on the long term. The scriptures, say the scriptures. That's where the power is. Jesus was very mindful. God was very mindful when he led his father and mother to go to Nazareth as a small child. The Bible says that he may fulfill the scriptures and be called a Nazarene. He was constantly aware of fulfilling the scriptures. Guess what? God wants to fulfill what he says about you and me in the earth in the scriptures.
Amen.
And some of that says, like in Ephesians chapter 1, you're forgiven.
Amen.
You're forgiven.
Amen.
You're chosen.
Amen.
You're beloved.
Yes.
You're more than a conqueror.
Yes.
I mean, it's not just you won. No, you've got to, it was a beatdown, okay? You're more than a conqueror. But you gotta continue with it. You got to meditate on it and let it go deep.
Amen.
These kind of verses, I say it oftentimes, but always like to give you a reference. I had low self-esteem, big time, but I don't have it no more. My esteem is based on how God sees me.
Amen.
I don't go higher, but I don't go lower neither.
Amen. Amen.
And the human tendency is to kind of blend in with everybody else's troubles. We help them, we sympathize, but you know what? We need to help them get where they need to go, because otherwise we kind of say, well, I don't want to make them feel bad because I'm an overcomer. No, I'm not going to be broke. I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to be lost in despair. I may be there now, but I'm going to get back to a place where I overcome. Amen?
Amen?
Why is that important? Because you represent Christ, God in the earth. Let God work miracles through your hands to minister to your children.
Yeah.
Healing. Mom, I can't do it. It's hard. You have the mind of Christ, Susie. Give them help. Give them a tutor. But help them start speaking the scriptures over their lives.
Yeah.
Another one. About two more. Verse 13. Since we have this same spirit of faith, say spirit of faith. According to what has been written, I love it again, I love it. What has been what? Written. It's important what's written.
Amen.
See, we have a lot of good quotes on Facebook and social media quotes. Oh, that's, I'm not knocking it. But the power is in what's written in the scriptures.
Amen.
And if we got more confidence in speaking the quotes, and they're cute, and I get it, I'm not knocking it. I like nice quotes too, but is it the scriptures or in line with the scriptures? Otherwise, it just feels good. You want power. You want truth in your life. Identify with God, Christ, inside of you. Say, according to the scriptures.
According to the scriptures.
It says, since we have this spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe and so do I speak. We also believe and so we also what? Speak. Wow. I mentioned earlier, you believe, you got to talk. If you really believe, it's coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
Jesus said it further. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So maybe in your heart, but it's like, it's kind of near the bottom, you know, like a little oil. But when you have it deep, then it starts rising, and now you're bold. I know who I am. In fact, there's a movie out, kind of popular movie, and it's about I Am, and he's singing that popular song, and it's, I'm thinking, the world is getting it, you all. We need to be getting this about our identity and our true identity in Christ. Otherwise, we'll kind of shift identities every other week. Yeah, that happens a lot too. Who are you today, man? Come in the office. Who are you this week? Yeah. Why? Now, people do that because they're searching for identity. They realize, I don't feel too well. I'm trying something else. No, that don't work. But because it's designed who you are, when you get that identity with Christ, you're good now. Amen. This fits well. Oh, God, this is good. This is right. I love this. And that's what happened to me. When I found out that I can live a life of overcoming, it felt good to me. Yeah. It fits. Say it fits. Confession should be, I have the spirit of faith, therefore I believe and speak what is written in God's word about me. Read it out loud, please.
I have the spirit of faith, therefore I believe and speak what is written in God's word about me.
Say it again, please.
I have the spirit of faith, therefore I believe and speak what is written in God's word about me.
Say it like you really mean it.
I have
I believe you got it. Now take, and all I did was just take some scriptures and make it personal. You can do that yourself. Find scriptures that really kind of maybe address a need in your life. And start identifying and speaking it, declaring it. Now the first time, a few times you do it, okay, I'm doing what Bishop Ed Smith said. All right, I did it four times a day. No, let's start thinking about what it's really saying. And ask the Lord to help you. And then keep speaking the words. Keep speaking the word. It's the scriptures. It's the scriptures. It's the power in the scriptures. In fact, every one of you are here because of the power of the scriptures. You came to this church today through the power of the scriptures. Somebody's lives was changed and started a church. And guess what? You're here because of the power of the scriptures being preached. It got you here. That's how powerful it is. One more. Or two more, I'm sorry. Verse 16. So we do not lose heart. That's true. We can be there. My heart's broken. I'll never marry again. Never love again. Never trust anybody again. Never start a business again. So we do not lose heart. Though our outward self is wasting away, that's the body. Our inner man, say inner self. Our inner self is being renewed once a year.
Day by day.
Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter.
Day by day.
Day by day. This is the bottom line. This one I encourage you. But unless I tell you the truth, then it just feels good and you go home. It's the day by day piece. You have to have a daily exposure to the scriptures at some level. You skip a few, miss a few days, don't be in bondage. But you don't read the Bible but once every other month, it's not going to help us. Or it's shallow, don't go deep and think about it and meditate and ask God, what he showed me? What are you speaking to me about this? I see the Bible, but what are you saying to me? How is relevant to me right now? Unless you go there, you're not being renewed day by day. I was teaching Bible study before I even thought about being a preacher because I was in the Word day by day. I wouldn't let my friends call me a preacher because I didn't feel I was called, but I taught Bible studies in people's homes, in corporate America, during noon break. They invited me to preach and teach a Bible study. All I did was study and taught what I know because I was in the Bible day by day. And yet God speaks to parents, especially the fathers, to teach the children the word of God. He can't do that if he's not in it himself on some daily basis. But we can't identify with God properly and maintain that identity without it being in our heart on a daily basis. Some regularity. Say regularity. But I hear a sermon, I like one on this one. You know what? You got to read it for yourself and just let God speak to you because you have preachers which preach to you, like me, I don't hear that. But when you're by yourself, just you, your latte, your Bible, and God. Yes. And God start opening things up to you.
Yes.
That's God talking to me right now. Yes. That's a rhema word. And that is what you need.
Yes.
You can hear a verse I read. Yeah, I hear you, preacher, but when you spend time and then it starts opening up, oh, yeah. Now that's God talking to me. And then you can't blame it on nobody. You say, okay, God, I'm going to do it now. And then he moves you in another direction of your life. Are you following me? So the confession should be, I do not lose heart, even though my body is getting older. Oh, Jesus. Well, because my spirit on the inside is renewed by my daily acknowledgement of how God sees me in Christ. Read it out loud with me, please. I do not lose heart, even though my body is getting older, because my spirit on the inside is renewed by my daily acknowledgments of how God sees me in Christ. Read it one more time. Some of y'all read another scripture. It's messing with you. One more passage and we'll be finished. Verse 18. It's all good, but I like the way we're landing here. As you look not, say look not.
Look not.
As you look not to the things that are seen with my natural eye, but to the things which are unseen. I can't see. How can I look at something I can't see? Through the eye of faith. Your mind. Your imagination is powerful. God gave it to you. See possibilities beyond what you see in the natural. Yes. This church was just a field a few years ago, or a number of years ago, about 60 years ago. And somebody said, we want to build a church here. All they saw was just a field. Somebody started to see something they couldn't see physically. This is why, and we all have that capability. It's not like some mind science crazy stuff, because that's how we worry. We worry about what we can't see, but we imagine what it might end up being. Yeah. You see what you can't see. We do it. We're designed that way. So now he's saying, don't look at what you see. Now, he's not saying drive with your eyes closed. Okay, he's not saying that. He's saying don't put your confidence so much in what you see, but the confidence and faith, what God is showing you, the possibilities outlined in the scriptures.
Amen.
What you can't see yet in your physical, but you see with the eye of faith. Why? Based on what God says. That's why the Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
One popular minister I know or know of, he's ministering healing to a man. And he's laying hands, and then he says, okay. God says, do something differently. Okay. He asks the guy, he says, close your eyes, sir. He says, close your eyes. Okay. Close his eyes. Can you see Jesus on the cross? Open his eyes. No, I can't see him on the cross. Close your eyes, man. Come on, close your eyes. Imagine him on the cross. Now, he wasn't there, but he said, start thinking. See him on the cross. Can you see it? No? Look a little harder. Okay. He said, yeah, I see him on the cross. Now walk behind his back. Go ahead and walk around. Okay. And see all the stripes on his back and the wounds on his back. Now go around and look at his face. Yeah. See the agony on his face. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, his pain, what you had was upon him on the cross. And by his stripes, you're healed. Yes, I'm healed. He walked away totally healed because he saw it. It was instant. Too often, preacher, put your hand up on me. Hope it don't be bad. Your mind is somewhere else.
Yeah.
Don't look. What are you looking at? What are you focusing in on? The loss? Not able to recover? won't happen for you. That's what fear does. It paints an image too. Faith paints an image that God has for you. Fear paints a good image too, but that's not what God has for you. So he says, verse 18, for we look not, say look not, to the things that are seen, but to the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are transient or temporal or subject to change. But the things which are what? Are unseen are what? Eternal. What else you want to do? I'm a 70 years old God, retired, been retired for some years, but I believe you got some more inside of me. He sure does. Caleb was 80 years old. He said, God, give me that mountain. How far can you see? How far can you see? When you identify with God, you can say, you get the job done, then you realize, my job is done. You can do what Paul said. I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I'm now ready to go home. We should not go home kicking and screaming. Ah! We should go, okay, God, my job is done. Call the kids in. I'll see y'all later. I'm out of here. That's God's pattern and God's best. But if we identify with God, we give in to what the devil gives us. We're not doing what we're singing about. We push away the darkness. It's a nice song. Push away the darkness. Yeah. But is it real in your life? Are you resisting the enemy? Are you resisting the enemy? He comes to steal your joy, steal your relationships, steal your money and your honey. Yeah. So our confession should be, I choose not to look at what is subject to change with my natural eye, but I choose, say choose, to look at what is eternal with my spiritual eye of faith. Say that with me, please. I choose not to look at what is subject to change with my natural eye, but I choose to look at what is eternal with my spiritual eye of faith. Say it again, please. It's time to embrace who you are in Christ and begin to live the abundant life. What Jesus came to give us. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Give me a few minutes, my friend. It won't take long. You'll be on your way. We want to give the people that came here to receive Christ or recommit their life to Christ or receive the Holy Spirit in their life or join our church to respond without distractions. If you would just be patient with us, we appreciate it. There are people here. You're ready to say yes to God. You're ready to say yes to God. Because it's in us saying yes to God. Every step of our walk in faith, we can all get to a place, say like a plateau, and kind of doing okay, but maybe you're coasting. See, if you're not moving forward, by definition, you're moving backward. Faith is always on the move. You're here today, my friend. Maybe you came as a guest. You came, just happened to walk in off the street. Maybe been here before, but have not made a decision to invite Jesus Christ into your life. For me, I went to church on a regular basis, but I didn't know Christ as my Lord and Savior. I did not know God. And I prayed just about every night before I went to bed. A simple prayer. I believed in the prayer, but I didn't believe in the Savior. Sometimes we do religious stuff. I try to get around or end around Jesus. It's popular, it's nice, it's cute, and it's sincere. But without Christ, Jesus made it very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father